not possible in other areas. Again, lots around this in this area range from 15.6, 6.1 acres, 4.8 acres, 4.6, 5.2, and the smallest at 3 acres. In here we have a range of larger lots at 18.6, 38.7, 27.3, a variation in lot sizes here anywhere from 15 acres up to 32 acres. So again, we do see rather smaller lots. The smallest lot allowed in the RDT zone is 40,000 square feet. There is no maximum lot size. So the lots, as far as the size and dimensions go, meet Chapter 59, the zoning ordinance. The larger lots to the south, south of West Old Baltimore Road, which is an exceptional rustic road, are very large, 72.7 acres and 55.1 acres. Again, no maximum lot size in the RDT zone. Staff has also looked at this for compliance with the subdivision regulations, Chapter 50 of the Zoning of the County Code, and we have stated in our staff report that our belief is that this application does meet all requirements of Chapter 50. There is some history, a bit of history, with relation to the master plan, and I would... at the pleasure of the board, I would turn it over to Judy if she, if you have any questions of her regarding master plan issues. We have a fairly detailed review of the master plan issues in the staff report, but if there are any questions, I would ask them to be answered by Judy, since she's our resident expert in this area of the RDT zone. So with that, I will go through the conditions. The conditions before you are the identical to what was brought before you in December of 2003. We do have a bit of park dedication located here and contiguous to the existing parkland south of West Old Baltimore Road. This is to provide a, well, there's, first of all, there's a stream in here, but it does provide an avenue to access the this Lot 18, which will remain a potential park acquisition lot. And I believe the applicant is still willing to negotiate with our park staff and the potential purchase for this. And in red, we also have the equestrian and public open space easements, public use trails, to connect, to ultimate connection to the Buck Lodge Conservation Park. So we have tied in the larger Black Hill Regional Park to the Buck Lodge Conservation Park with park space and with public use trail easements. We do have septic approval for all 17 lots, as we did in December. Essentially the rest of the conditions are what you would see in a typical subdivision of this type in the RDT zone. I do have some other presentations for you in your staff packet. We had given some typical RDT subdivisions that had been approved. There's nothing, they were kind of picked at random. It is certainly not it doesn't include all RDT subdivisions, but essentially these are from the year 2000 to present day, plans for which we still had them in a hard copy here at Park and Planning. And I've blown those up if the board wishes to see those at a larger scale. So with that, if there are any questions of Judy, I'd like to conclude my presentation.
Thank you. We'll hold questions till later. Gentlemen.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is Stan Abrams of the firm of Abrams and West in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm representing the applicant today along with Mr. Jim Clifford, who you've probably seen before at other public hearings here. Also at the table is Mr. Frank Jameson to my left, who has signed up separately and if permitted by the chairman, would cede his time to myself and Mr. Clifford. Also with us is our engineer, Mr. McKee. We would preliminarily make certain requests. Number one, that the large board be entered in the record as part of the evidence in the case. We will produce a smaller version.
Thank you.
Realizing that it's hard to carry around in your files. We will also request that the large plats that Mr. Weaver indicated or attached to your report also be included in the record. In addition,
anything you want.
Well, there are a couple more things that I want to get on a record. All the exhibits and the testimony with reference to the board's initial hearing in June 27th of 2002 that went into its written report approving this preliminary plan in December 3, 2002. We would also renew our objections, which we submitted to you in my letter of March 10, 2004, objecting to the reconsideration of your prior vote, which essentially we contend was a revocation of the previous decision of approval. Now, having said all of this, the matter was last before the Planning Board in July of this year, where Commissioner Robinson encouraged the parties to reach a settlement or compromise agreement. After consultation with our engineers, Mr. Clifford, the applicant, Judy Daniel of your staff, and the opponents did, in fact, meet to try to arrive at an agreement. Mr. Clifford sent you a letter of August 23 of this year, which detailed what feasible adjustments the applicant would be willing to make and offered to make to the opponents. Hopefully the commissioners got copies of that letter. Unfortunately, as Mr. Clifford further explained in that letter, that the proffered compromise was not acceptable to the to all the opponents. Essentially, the opposition wanted the set of five smaller lots, which are grouped near Mrs. Sinque's property, to be moved, I believe it was to the east side of the overall track. But as Mr. Clifford explained in his letter to you, that the soil test did not support accommodation of that request. Now, the applicant's response regarding the soils is neither cavalier nor arbitrary, but was, in fact, detailed in a letter to Deb Daniels of your legal staff on June 2nd. And essentially what that said is that over a seven-year period, 72 water table tests had been completed, 251 perk holes had been tested, and over $75,000 of those tests, exclusive of any surveying or planning or other fees, was expended. Now, all of this was to achieve the best possible plan, given the soil constraints, given the topographic constraints, because much of this is a rolling area, and consistent with the requirements and criteria of the planning for the area, as well as the zoning ordinance. The applicant's position today is very simple. We believe that there is no legal or factual basis or justification to have reconsidered and reversed the original approval in 2002 and essentially request that you reinstate that approval. The case law on reconsideration is also simple. It says that your original decision in 2002 is binding, absent either a substantial change in conditions having occurred since that point in time, or the decision was a product of fraud, mistake, or inadvertence. There has been no change in the conditions since the original decision in 2002, substantial or otherwise, affecting this property. There has been no evidence submitted to you of any fraud, of any mistake, or any inadvertence. In fact, you found in your December 2002 decision that the proposed lots met the subdivision regulations with respect to the lot size, the width, the shape, the orientation, and suitability for residential use. There have been no facts presented to you since that time to arrive at a different conclusion. Second of all, you found at that same time that the proposed lots abut a public road. Well, obviously, they still abut a public road, including 6,000 feet of frontage on Shiloh or Slidell Road, with also frontage on Shiloh Church Road and Old Baltimore Road. Next, you found back in 2002 that the plan meets the development standards in the RDT zone, and this includes exceeding the minimum lot size for lots in RDT of 40,000 square feet, and it also meets the overall average density of one dwelling unit per 25 acres. So the plan continues to meet all the density setback and other development standards. You also found back in 2002 that the plan was in accord with the Clarksburg Master Plan. Well, the Master Plan hasn't changed. It's the same plan with the same recommendations for this property in this area west of 10 Mile Creek. Neither has obviously the location of the property changed. The property is still west of 10 Mile Creek, which was described in the master plan as a transition area from the I-270 corridor with more intensive development to the farmland area within the functional master plan for preservation of agricultural and open space. And as you well know, transmission generally means going in terms of a gradual change from either something of a higher density or more intensive use or lot size to height, bulk, or intensity of use to less intensive use. That has occurred here, as explained in your staff report very thoroughly, that the more intensive zoning development is east of 10 Mile Creek to the RDT area. And this property was put in the RDT zone as a gradual transition as opposed to the rural cluster or some other agricultural zoning district. So the zoning here provides for a grouping of smaller size lots, which in fact does retain and preserve and promote agricultural as well as open space use. Frankly, if the county council had any different vision for this property, and it was thoroughly discussed when the master plan was under consideration, if they wanted the recommendation specifically of the ag plan to apply to this property and not make it a transition, they could have simply taken this area, as well as the area west of 10 Mile Creek, out of the Clarksburg plan and put it into the agricultural and open space master plan, but they didn't do that. The master plan, furthermore, and this is very important, didn't state in terms of its recommendations for this area that the lot should not be less than 25 acres or didn't give it any minimum acreage. And this is quite different from the Gaster and the Coffey decisions, which have been cited in some of the opposition correspondence, which I will address in a second. So it's no surprise where this property was located back in 2002. It's still in Clarksburg, it's still in that master plan, and it's not in the ag preservation area. So there was no surprise to this commission as to what the master plan said. It was extensively discussed in the various staff reports that you had, in the comments at the public hearing back in 2002, and it's been reiterated by your staff here today. Furthermore, back in 2002, you found that the property was adequately served by public facilities and was appropriate for well and septic systems based upon approvals by the county agencies and the Maryland Department of the Environment. The issued water appropriation permits are still valid, as well as the septic approvals. These have not changed, so there's been no change in conditions with respect to these facilities or these approvals. You did find that the poor soil quality and the steep topography call for residential rather than strictly agricultural use, but this was not a finding which is required in the subdivision regulations. But again, no change has occurred with respect or no mistake has occurred with respect to these findings. Finally, we found that the plan maintains and enhances the character of the surrounding area through the dedication and the conveyance of land for public use trails and forest conservation. These have been gone over both in your staff report today as well as by Rich Weaver. The trails, lands to be dedicated and conveyed, provide the linkage to the various park areas. They provide conservation in connection with all the parks in the area, including our dedication of the park for additional park property, that the 19 acres, which is known as Parcel A, and the availability of what is known as Lot 18, which contains 23 and a half acres to sell or to convey to the Park and Planning Commission. I want to make a couple of just final points. The five smaller lots, which are grouped together on this property, are a little over 3 acres to a little over 6 acres in size. They're similar, if not larger in size, than the smaller developed parcels along Slidell Road across from this property.
Finish your thought, because your time is up.
Okay. Can he concede his time?
He can sign up as a private person.
He did.
Well, then he has to speak later. This is the applicant's time, and it's 10 minutes. And you've used up your 10 minutes.
I concede my time.
He can concede his time.
No, he can't. Not right now, he can't. Later.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You'll be allowed to come back for rebuttal. We have so far 5 speakers. Julius Sinke, Cindy Eig, and Robert Wojcicki will be the first 3.
Mr. Chairman, before we go to the witnesses, I have a point of order I'd like to raise.
All right, just sit tight for a minute, witnesses.
Based on conversation with counsel, I withdraw my point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Julia Sinke, Cindy Eig, or Eig, and Robert Wojcicki. Come on up. Julia Sinke is first. You have 5 minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I don't take that time, I'd like to cede it to one of my other speakers, if I might. My name is Julia Sinke. I live at 22300 Slido Road in Boyds. I am also the current president of the Peachtree Ridge Civic Association, and as such, I've been hearing from a number of residents in the community who are confused and struggling to understand why this hearing has taken place. After the December 11, 2003 denial of the applicant's development plan, the community was reassured that the Park and Planning Commission understood and appreciated the importance of the Thompson Farm and its location within the agricultural preserve and within the context of the Clarksburg Master Plan. They were reassured that now, as development pressures from Clarksburg to the east and Germantown to the south, as these pressures develop, that the Planning Board would use the tools available to it, namely the RDT zoning requirements, to enforce the protection of the agricultural preserve. One lot per 25 acres is the metric that is available to you as stewards of the preserve. But now there is a great deal of worry and confusion in the community. Why is the Commission reevaluating a previously disapproved plan? Is this a new plan or a substantially revised plan? Or has the metric changed? If the applicant has not submitted a new plan, then why is this meeting taking place? Will all the decisions be subject to change without new information or after private consultations with the developer? These are the concerns that are being expressed in the community. While I can be assured that I can be reassuring that this is not the case, I am also at a loss to explain why we are revisiting a previously disapproved development plan that has not been revised. Nothing has changed since December 11, 2003. No new design is offered. No new plan is offered. The old plan still fails to comply with the Clarksburg Master Plan and is within the agricultural preserve. It is clear that the area west of 10 Mile Creek should be supportive of agriculture. Everyone agrees with that. The Clarksburg Master Plan clearly states, and this is referenced in your staff report, and you'll also hear it referenced in the council presentation from Jessica Stewart and David Fisher. It clearly states that alternative rural land use patterns were considered in this area but were rejected as being inconsistent with farmland preservation. So the community is at a loss as to why we're here with no new plan and no revision. I'd also like to say that the previous speaker mentioned that a letter was sent in discussing the attempted compromise. The community also sent in a letter to the board talking about the failure of the compromise and the disappointment that the applicant hasn't come forward in good faith with a better compromise. In terms of the mistake, no new mistakes have been discovered at the last hearing. In fact, a mistake was identified. The property was mistakenly located east of 10 Mile Creek, and that's why the last hearing took place. So it's well documented that there is there was a mistake identified, and that's what triggered the last hearing. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Cindy Eig?
Eig, sorry. Sorry, my husband Peter Eig would be here, but he's teaching hands-on science, and I've had some dental work, so I'm just going to have Jay read a very quick.
We can all relate to that.
Thank you.
This is a letter on behalf of the Boyd Civic Association from Dr. Peter Eig. Good afternoon, and on behalf of the Boyd Civic Association, I would like to thank the board for this time to comment on this reconsideration. We continue to agree with Commissioner Wellington, Commissioner Robinson, and Commissioner Barrage correct motion to reject the plan during the last hearing of this matter. There has been no new or substantial information that would in any way alter the correct decision of this board with respect to the last reconsideration. The board correctly interpreted the regulations and laws that outline protection for the agricultural preserve with respect to development in this area. Ladies and gentlemen of the Commission, the bottom line is the Boyd Civic Association continues to agree that the preliminary plan is inconsistent with the master plans and therefore should again correctly reject the developer's recommendation for this property. Thank you for your time, Dr. Peter Eag.
Thank you. Mr. Wojcicki.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the Planning Commission and to all others. My name is Robert Miles Wojcicki, and I currently reside at 22115 Slidell Road, Boyds, Maryland, adjacent to the Thompson Farm. I farm for a living in the western Montgomery County area, and have so farmed the Thompson Farm. I farm another farm in Bellsville, the Kafritz Farm, which was developed in the same manner of this property that is being developed. I farmed three of the parcels on that land, equaling 50 acres. This is not going to end farming at the Thompson Farm, but it will open up a lot of customers for me to sell horses, hay, and cattle to, and I will probably wind up farming part of the land as I do so now. This proposed division of the Thompson Farm would be a great asset to many of our community, from the builders to the barn builder to the fence company to other farmers. I have farmed some of the Thompson Farm over the past 3 years and enjoyed being on the land just as much as the new homesteaders will enjoy the fine property. I've seen the stream forward that the Jameson family is giving to the park system. This is truly a beautiful and unique piece of property, utilized by many young adults on Friday and Saturday nights. Having worked with the Jameson family over the past 2 decades, I am amazed that the Jameson family would be willing to give 19 acres of land away. In my personal opinion, I feel the Jameson family has done the right things to develop the old rundown farm, and I think it would be an asset to the community to have nice houses and farmheads in our backyard. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for this group?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I have some questions. If the last gentleman to speak could have a short dialogue. Do you use mechanized agriculture in your farming?
We sure do.
Is it easier to farm, do mechanized agriculture with big lots or little lots?
Well, I farm big lots and small lots. You have to take what's available. Mm-hmm.
But I did ask which is easier, the larger lots or the smaller lots?
Well, with my, it's easier on big lots.
Okay, thank you.
Don't see any other questions. Thank you very much. Jessica Steinhilber and David Fisher. And they're having time ceded to them by some people. I want to make sure they're here. Ann Sinke, you're here. Okay. Jessica Garuto, you're here. All right. So then, and Dolores Momo, oh, she's speaking too, right? Are you just seating? All right. Part of your time? Well, whatever time you want to use, come up now, because we'll let you go first and see how much you got left.
I'm also seeking just part of my time.
But oh, okay. Everybody's. All right. Everybody who wants to talk of the names I just read, come to the front. Okay. Dolores, you're first.
Okay, good afternoon. I'm Dolores Momo, Audubon Naturalist Society, and I'm here, again, in opposition to this proposal. I, too, don't exactly understand how we got to this point today, and I'd also like to remind you, I had to ask Rich, because I want to remind you, this was not stated in the staff presentation earlier, that this is quite a controversial project. You have 200 to 300 letters, that's Jeff's, Rich's figure, letters or emails in your packets opposing this plan. You know, I echo those comments of previous speakers. There's been no new evidence presented by the applicant or by the staff to legally warrant reconsideration. And after having read the staff report, frankly, we've concluded that they have decided to second-guess the board's decision. The applicant and the staff may have a different interpretation of the master plans in question here, but that certainly doesn't mean that your decision on December 11th, 03 should be reversed. If clarification, and I would remind you that there was no opinion written from this December 03 thing, which we find very irregular, but there was no opinion. Instead, we've relied on the tapes of and the transcript, and the board decided to hear this case today to clarify your decision. And as far as I know, clarification is not listed in the procedures for reconsideration. It is not grounds for reconsideration. And if it is, I know a whole host of communities who'll be knocking on this door to have hearings reconsidered. When you agreed to reconsider this case at our request initially, it was because there was a factual error that had been made, as it has been mentioned, designating, with a confusion about the east and west side of 10 Mile Creek. Your legal staff agreed that that was a factual mistake, and indeed, if you look at the rules for reconsideration, factual mistakes are grounds for reconsideration. And then during that hearing, new evidence was submitted by the attorneys to my left and by myself on which you reached your decision. David Fisher pointed out language in both the Clarksburg Master Plan and the Master Plan for Agricultural Preservation that successfully persuaded you to see this proposal through the lens of the Master Plan language itself. Also, I pointed out language in the Rustic Roads Master Plan and gave you a specific map of Fireball Road with a designated rustic road with the view sheds designated by arrows, and these arrows happen to be right in the vicinity where the cluster of five houses are planned. I have copies to refresh your memory of both the map and the master plan language on which some of you said, well, coupled with the other master plans, we find this as grounds to deny this application. And the language reads, should development occur within these view sheds, this master plan recommends that at the time of a subdivision, a review should be undertaken in the development approval process, not to restrict development, but to recommend placement of buildings in order to maintain a scenic vista. And I want to make it clear here that the big problem, I think, with the community is this cluster, the suburbanized view of this proposed plan as you drive down Slidell and West Old Baltimore Road. Finally, I just want to say we did meet at your request, and actually we welcomed the meeting with Mr. Clifford as the applicant's representative and Ms. Daniel, but the compromise offer was simply to move one of the five houses from the cluster to another location, and in our view, that was not a significant compromise. Finally, I have to say that there have been many unanswered questions or irregularities about the Thompson Farm proposal. Why was there no written opinion issued from your December 11th or 03 hearing? Did staff decide that your decision was incorrect? The grounds for reconsideration are based on clarification of your December 11th decision. Is clarification grounds for reconsideration? Why has staff only offered simply their differing interpretation of master plan instead of introducing new evidence? Certainly, many decisions made by this body are controversial and have some, both some applicants and citizens are unhappy with some of the decisions, but absent any introduction of new evidence or by either the applicant or the staff, this reconsideration does not have legal standing. Also, I just want to comment that while Rich Weaver did supply you with other subdivisions in the RDT, I submit that your decisions should be site-specific. Not all subdivisions are on rustic roads. Not all subdivisions have designated view sheds. Not all subdivisions fall under the Clarksburg Master Plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Ann Sinke, did you want to speak?
With time, if there's time left over.
From them.
All right. Dolores used all her time, so they've got Jessica Garrido, you don't want to speak, right? So the attorneys have 12 minutes.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Jessica Steinhilber. My colleague David Fisher and I are counsel to the parties of record who oppose the Thompson Farm preliminary plan. We appreciate this opportunity to address the board today. We again request that the board deny the Thompson Farm preliminary plan because the plan fails to substantially conform to the Clarksburg Master Plan. The original Planning Board opinion of December 3, 2002, incorrectly stated that the Thompson Farm was on the east side of Ten Mile Creek, when, in fact, it is located on the west side of the creek. The location of the Thompson Farm is critical because the Clarksburg Master Plan draws a powerful distinction between the area west of Ten Mile Creek as key to helping preserve the larger segments of the agricultural reserve. While this mistake prompted our successful request for reconsideration, the board ultimately decided to conduct a de novo review of the plan. During the Planning Board's December 11, 2003 reconsideration of the Thompson Farm preliminary plan, the Planning Board correctly acknowledged and fully considered the significance of the Thompson Farm's location within both the Ten Mile Creek planning area of the Clarksburg Master Plan and the Agricultural Reserve. Commissioner Wellington offered the motion to reject the plan, which was seconded by Commissioner Robinson. Commissioner Wellington voted to reject the plan because it did not meet the goals of the Clarksburg Master Plan. As she noted, the master plan makes a clear distinction between the land east and west of Ten Mile Creek. In addition, Commissioner Wellington stated that the goals of the master plan are to preserve farming and maintain a farming community. Commissioner Robinson added that the plan did not comport with a fair reading of either the Clarksburg Master Plan or the Rustic Roads Master Plan. Chairman Berlage also voted in favor of the motion, which carried on a vote of 3-2. We now find ourselves before the board again, based on another request for reconsideration, this time filed by the applicant. We find this troubling for a number of reasons. First, after a careful review of the Planning Board's rules of procedure, we question the legal basis for the Board's decision to grant the request for reconsideration. The rules of procedure specify the allowable grounds for reconsideration. These are, first, the Board's action did not conform to relevant laws or procedures. Second, the pertinent and significant information relevant to the Board's decision was not presented to the Board or on the record, accompanied by an explanation for why the information was not timely presented, or third, other appropriate compelling basis as determined by the Board. The basis for granting the request appears to be a desire on the Board to clarify its December 11, 2003 decision to deny the plan. But clarification is not specified in the rules of procedure as grounds for reconsideration. Issuing an opinion is the more appropriate means by which to clarify the board's decision. Unfortunately, the board never issued an opinion of its December 11, 2003 decision. Furthermore, we are unclear as to exactly what the goal of this reconsideration is. To simply clarify the reasoning for its rejection of the plan, as was discussed when the board granted the motion for reconsideration in June, or to completely reconsider the entire plan, as seems to be the intent behind the staff report. Even assuming the board correctly granted the second request for reconsideration, the board is legally compelled to render the same correct decision it rendered on December 11, 2003. In Schultz versus Montgomery County Planning Board, the Maryland Court of Appeals provides an important standard to guide planning board actions. An agency, including a planning commission, not otherwise constrained, may reconsider an action previously taken and come to a different conclusion upon a showing that the original action was the product of fraud, surprise, mistake, or inadvertence, or that some new or different factual situation exists that justifies the different conclusion. Applying this standard to the facts before you, the board must render the same correct decision it rendered on December 11, 2003, and deny the Thompson Farm preliminary plan. Importantly, nothing has changed since December 11th. No new information about the plan is before you. In particular, the staff report raises no new arguments in defense of the plan. In fact, in citing not only the Clarksburg Master Plan, but also the Agricultural and Rural Open Space Master Plan, the staff report acknowledges the goal of farmland preservation. As stated in the staff report, the primary intent of the Agricultural and Rural Open Space Master Plan is to preserve farming. These master plans remain unaltered since the board's December 11th decision to reject the Thompson Farm preliminary plan. As we have previously stated, the preliminary plan fails to conform to the Clarksburg Master Plan because it does not do enough to preserve land for agricultural uses, which is the primary goal within the Agricultural Reserve and the RDT zone. RDT zoning is a critically important land use tool appropriate for land within the agricultural reserve. RDT zoning allows for the higher density of homes outside the agricultural reserve in so-called transfer transferable development rights, or TDR, receiving areas. TDR receiving areas preserve a critical and irreplaceable natural resource while still allowing for needed housing. The Thompson Farm is zoned RDT with a maximum density of one lot per 25 acres. This maximum density was not arbitrarily derived. Rather, it is based on the minimum parcel size necessary for viable farming, namely 25 acres. The RDT's residential density does not create an entitlement to achieve that density on every parcel, a comment made by Royce Hansen during his remarks at a July conference on the preservation of the agricultural reserve. Historically, agricultural portions of Montgomery County were designated as rural zone. In an effort to limit non-agricultural uses and restrict any residential lots to 5 acres or more. However, in light of the fact that rural subdivision plans revealed lot sizes from 4 to 15 acres, the loss of farmland was proceeding unabated. Thus, the 1980 Functional Master Plan for the Preservation of Agricultural and Rural Open Space in Montgomery County recognized that zoning must be adapted for agricultural needs, not the other way around. Reconfiguring the agricultural reserve by effectively eviscerating the agricultural potential of land, thereby frustrating the very purpose for which the agricultural reserve was created, constitutes an alternative land use pattern that was explicitly rejected in the Clarksburg Master Plan. In conclusion, the board's legal obligations require a confirmation of its December 11th decision to reject the Thompson Farm Master Plan. While we question the validity of today's hearing, the board should go no further than clarifying its reasoning for rejecting the Thompson Farm Plan.
Are you done? Okay. Questions? I have a question for Ms. Steinhiller. You just indicated that you don't believe that this plan is sufficiently supportive of agriculture, doesn't provide sufficient opportunities for agricultural activity to occur on the larger lots. And I tend to agree, and that's actually the reason I voted the way I did. Tell me what configuration would be more supportive of agriculture. Because if we're going to say this is not in keeping with agriculture, the primary purpose of the RDT zone, mm-hmm. I think it's incumbent upon us to at least hypothetically point to what kind of a plan would do a better job of supporting agriculture. Can you help me out on that at all?
Sure. As I said, I don't think that by right the developer should be allowed to develop every single lot if that does not conform with the master plan, and particularly the cluster. None of those lots can be used for agricultural uses, so that area of land is completely taken out of agricultural use forever. So eliminating that cluster and maybe having one house on that particular lot would solve that problem.
But if there were one house on what's now 5 or 6 lots, that wouldn't necessarily provide a lot large enough for agriculture either. It would just provide fewer homes.
Well, as long as the lot was large enough for agricultural uses. I'm not doing the math here.
But doesn't clustering also allow some of the other lots to be larger and more supportive of agriculture?
Yes, but those lots can still remain large as they are now.
So your position is that agriculture would be more viable on this ground if the very small lots were replaced by a larger lot?
Yes.
Okay. I don't see any other questions. Thank you very much.
Yes, I have question for Ms. Miller, which is you cited to a language requiring protection of views in the mm-hmm. is that in the Clarksburg Master Plan or
it's in the Rustic Road?
It's in the Rustic Road Master Plan.
Yes.
Could you provide that?
I have copies to pass out. And yes.
Okay, Jeffrey Hunt has signed up to testify, and Mr. Jameson, did you still want to testify as an individual? You certainly can.
And can Anson Q have the rest of her time?
Pardon?
Anson Q, can I cede her time back to her?
We don't cede twice. No, it's already been ceded. If you didn't use it, I'm afraid it's gone.
I'd like to cede my time to Mr. Abrams.
All right, come on, Mr. Abrams. You have 3 minutes, 3-minute warm-up for your rebuttal. Mr. Hunt, go ahead.
Thank you. I'll be brief. My name is Jeff Hunt. I live at 22810 Shiloh Church Road, directly adjacent to, lot four. My wife and I have two kids, two young boys, are probably the youngest of the residents in this area. Pinched our pennies for many years, followed a dream to try to build a house for my boys, and did that. I think it's one of the best experiences that I've ever had. I think that doing it together, my boys out there, you know, helping and things, was one of the most rewarding things we did. I support the subdivision. I'm not affected by the five lots. It's not so close to me, so it's not an issue for me. But the fact remains that it meant so much to me to do it that I think that other people would benefit from that same thing, and being able to pull yourself away from a two-story, 700-foot square or square-foot townhome and live in the country is an unbelievable thing. So thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Abrams, you have 3 minutes, and then after that you'll have 5 minutes for your rebuttal. Are you going to do all the rebuttal?
Yes, sir.
All right. You got 8 minutes.
The five smaller lots, which are across Slidell Road, are similar, if not smaller in size, than the grouping of lots that are being proposed along Slidell. There's also a subdivision to the rear of the property, which is an R200 subdivision, which also has a significant number of smaller size lots. Now, the opposition arguments do not really reflect the state of law or facts in this case. The staff memo explained in April of 2003 and reiterated even more intensively in the latest staff report. First of all, that the Rustic Road Master Plan specifically states, and this is at page 5, that, and I quote, the Rustic Road's designation is not intended to affect the use of adjoining land except in the design of access to a subdivision. Now, Slidell Road was not designated as a rustic road at the original hearing on this property. And of the property's 6,000 feet plus frontage on Slidell Road, we only have about 450 feet involving the grouping of smaller lots. So if you consider scenic vistas at all, it's a very minimal intrusion, if anything, on the area. The opponents have at times argued that the property should be subject to the same requirements as cluster zoning in other agricultural areas, such as the rural cluster or the low-density rural cluster area. I want to remind the board that RDT is not a cluster zone. It doesn't have a cluster option. And what it does have is a minimum lot size requirement as long as the overall one dwelling unit per 25 acres is present. And I think the chairman hit the nail right on the head. This would provide an opportunity to allow other lots to be more conducive to agricultural. Now, what you have here is an argument, essentially, as to where these grouping of smaller lots are placed. They don't want them where they're placed. They don't mind if they're placed elsewhere on the property, and that sort of erodes the entire argument that some of these opponents are making. So why have a minimum lot size at all in the RDT zone? Well, it does, in fact, preserve agricultural areas and open space, as your staff report has indicated to you, and I'm not going to repeat that. The primary purpose of the ag zone and the master plan is not to preserve scenic vistas. The purpose is to preserve agricultural and open space, and by grouping the smaller lots, you have larger lots, which are more conducive to the agricultural activities. So the bottom line in terms of our initial presentation is that we met all the standards for preliminary plans in 2002, and we still do. There's no justification, and there was no justification for the original reconsideration. Nothing has changed. And in terms of what was presented as to being the mistake is essentially a clerical or administrative mistake when that opinion was drawn up as to which side this property was. for you, for these people in the audience to sit there and say that after hours of hearings, after reviewing your staff report, after listening to your staff, after reviewing exhibits which show where this property was, where 10 Mile Creek was, after listening to the tapes of this hearing, to say that you didn't know that this property was west of 10 Mile Creek, I find that incredulous. You knew where the property was, and you had a thorough discussion at the original hearing as to what your reasons for approving the property is. The fact that it ended up incorrectly, in the opinion, is really the basis why I think we're all here today. It's not to reconsider or to consider a new plan. The plan that you have before you is the same plan. And although we tried to make adjustments to it to accommodate the opponents, and it was more than just moving one house. I will tell you that we created in our offer three more lots, which exceeded 25 acres, but that wasn't satisfactory to them either. Now, I'm not sure how many times we got to come back to the community with different offers. We didn't hear anything other than move that grouping of lots to an area that doesn't park. That was the bottom line. We couldn't do it. The lots are laid out as the soils allow, and in fact we have an exhibit which will show you where the perk holes are, where they failed, and where they were approved. So we can't arbitrarily move these lots around. The staff has recommended conditions, and we have no problem with the conditions. The reason why this was reconsidered at all was basically a clerical mistake when the opinion was prepared. And why the question came out, I think, by Julia Simcoe, why are we revisiting the plan? We're revisiting the plan because your own rules for reconsideration say that you can revisit the plan if you have made a mistake with respect to the law, and we believe that you did in terms of what the law is on reconsideration. We believe there was no basis for you to reconsider in December of 2003. Thank you all very much.
I have a question for Mr. Abrams, which is, you say we made a mistake of law. Was that in terms of the validity of the motion for reconsideration, or a... That seems to be your position on the first motion. It's a possibility that there was a mistake of law in the second decision.
There was a mistake of law to begin with because we effectively have argued to you and preserved the argument that you have revoked the original preliminary plan approval and haven't followed your own procedures with respect to that process. With respect to the second decision, we believe that that is error for you to have voted the way you voted.
To have reconsideration.
To have reconsideration of our opinion after the first initial.
All right. Thank you.
I have a question. Mr. Abrams, did you read the opinion that staff issued?
Yes.
And what did it say about the Clarksburg Master Plan? What part did it cite? Well, I have it. It's on page 6. And it cited the part that applied to the other side, to the east side of Tim Creek. It said, our opinion said the Clarksburg Master Plan states that because this area is separated from the larger agricultural reserve by 10 Mile Creek, agricultural preservation is not the primary objective. The key land objective in this area is to provide housing and job opportunities while mitigating water quality impacts in 10 Mile Creek. Now, is that the part of the master plan that applies to this property?
No, what you're reading from is basically the other side.
This is page 6 of the staff opinion. Now, I'll give you time if you want to look at it. It's the very first paragraph.
Yes, and your question again is?
is this quote from the master plan, is this the part of the master plan that applies to the property at issue?
Well, the sentence before that says the central sector is described in the functional master plan for agricultural and open space.
Where are you? I'm on page 6 at the top. First paragraph, while agriculture is a preferred use in the zone.
Well, no, I'm reading from the relationship to the master plan, which is the...
Well, can you look at page 6?
Page. I'm looking at page 6.
Thompson Farm Opinion.
Oh, the Thompson Farm Opinion?
The date of the hearing, June 27, 2002. The December 3rd, 2002 opinion.
I don't have that.
You don't have that?
Before me, no.
Okay, well, that was the opinion that we considered, okay? And in that opinion, staff cited the part of the master plan I just quoted to you, which applied to the wrong area, okay? We're west of Ten Mile Creek, and they cited the master plan provision applying to the eastern part. So we reconsidered it, and as they recapitulated in my motion, we reviewed the master plan, and the section of it that does apply, which says this plan focuses on the area west of Ten Mile Creek, existing land pattern dominated by very large parcels, traditionally a farming community. The importance of this area to countywide agricultural preservation is significant because it forms a critical transition in the I-270 corridor. So we took a look again, and we took a look at the right part of the master plan that applied to the property at issue. We reevaluated that, and I and two of my colleagues came to the conclusion that this plan does not meet the specific language goals of this Clarksburg master plan.
So basically what you're saying is that the staff, when they presented it to you and the report that was given to you, was somehow from the wrong side of Ten Mile Creek as to the planning recommendations. I don't believe that's correct. I believe that's what ended up in the opinion, but I don't believe that was the evidence before you.
Well, that was the opinion that was issuing.
That's so right. And that's part of the opinion.
The first hearing, we didn't. There was no staff report. I don't know if you've looked into it and read the tape. And there was no discussion of the Ten Mile Creek part of the master plan.
I've listened to the tape. Yes, there is discussion of it.
Not citing these two sections and not going into whether it was east or west.
I don't have the recall that perhaps you do, but it certainly was discussed. It was a very extensive discussion.
Well, we don't agree on that. That's a question of fact. But my point is that this was a legal mistake to cite the wrong part of the master plan, and we reconsidered it.
Judy Daniel. As our resident expert on agriculture.
Seat is very hot right now.
everybody is hot right now.
It might have something to do with what agriculture preserves and produce often.
Baby, go ahead. Yes, sir.
You heard Ms. Steinhilber state that or suggest that if the five smaller lots were replaced by one lot, that kind of a preliminary plan would be more conducive to continued farming on the property than having five smaller lots. Did you hear her testimony?
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with what she said? And if she's correct, how much more supportive of agriculture would that be?
I don't agree with what she said.
Okay, tell me why.
Farming, as it is evolving now, can be done from 5 acres to 1,000 acres. Lot size can vary tremendously. People can earn a good living on 7 acres growing herbs or 1,000 acres growing soybeans. But there is a great need to continue to have contiguous farm fields. That makes any agriculture easier rather than having scattered houses on that are mainly turned into estate lots where really no farming take place. So through the 20 years or 20 almost 25 years of the program, the staff has like to recommend that the grouping of lots allowing larger contiguous fields and remaining area is an excellent way to keep those fields open and to keep the land potential for agriculture. The decisions of the planning board and throughout that time have shown a great variety of lot sizes. In fact, as we pointed out in the staff report this time, we could get much better design if we weren't stuck with septic tanks and sand mounds. Design is a separate thing, actually, from lot size. So I think placement is important. That's one reason when we met with the applicant and the people in the community, we initially felt it would be helpful if the offending views could be alleviated by moving the one house that would really be in full view. But that was not acceptable. So, in general, I do disagree. I think the farming can be variable, but the grouping to allow the larger sizes on the remainder of the property is, we have in the past considered to be preferable.
Well, okay. What is the significance of the one house to 25 acres?
Late 1970s, when the studies, agricultural studies were done, that was the size, minimum size, that was felt that traditional agriculture could work.
How many of the lots in this proposal are 25 or more?
How many, Rich?
Six.
Six out of how many?
Yeah, but that is 1980 economics
But is that in the agricultural master plan, the Ag Reserve master plan?
What? I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Is what in it?
The standard of 21 unit to 25, the reason for using 25.
The density.
Yes.
The density, yeah. Yes, the density is in there.
But not minimum lot size.
The minimum lot size is definitely not remotely in there. I mean, the minimum lot size is an acre. That's in the zone.
No, I understand that. What I'm asking you is, what's the significance of the 25 acres in terms of use for agriculture?
At the time, it was felt that this was the, you can't make the lots any bigger than that, or it's going to be difficult for the farmers. If you make the zoning any more intense than that, you're going to make it less likely that farming will happen because the contiguous farm fields will disappear.
I think maybe you misspoke yourself, Ms. Daniels. Right. The 25 lot acre lot was considered to be, on balance, the minimum practical size for agriculture.
For traditional agriculture.
Yes. So if you got less than 25 acres in the parcel, it would be less effective for agriculture.
It would be less effective, but certainly not
impossible.
Thank you. Sorry. Thank you, sir.
I have a question of legal counsel. We heard a good deal of discussion in the testimony about reconsideration and the scope of the reconsideration and the appropriateness of the reconsideration. And I wonder if you just could offer any comments on reconsideration.
Speaking to the most recent reconsideration request,
yes.
As the board might recall, at the time that there was a vote for denial, it was 3-2, and there was a couple different reasonings given for the denial, none of which was a majority. And when the
wasn't there a motion?
Yes, there was a motion.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is that the reasonings, there was two different reasonings given for the denial. The third person voting for denial did not give a reasoning, so there was no...
Well, that would be in support of the motion.
Yes, it was in support of the motion, but there was some discussion as to why the motion was made and what the basis for that motion was. And I guess the point is that the applicant then requested reconsideration and discussed the basis for the board's decision and noted that it was a departure from what the board had done in the past in the RDT zone. So at the time the reconsideration request came to the board, the staff recommendation was that the board reconsider it on the basis that it needed to review and clarify its application of the current development standards. It needed to take another look at that. And that's that was the basis for the board's reconsideration at that time. And, in fact, the issue of whether or not the board should have reconsidered it and what the basis is was decided at that time.
Okay. Thank you.
Light.
Mr. Robinson?
She wasn't finished.